Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the book of Philemon in verse 10 with Onesimus the Runaway. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We have been studying the book of Philemon. And we've seen that in this book, written shortly after Ephesians, Paul illustrates that great principle of Ephesians, that God always deals graciously with us. And as we saw in Ephesians 4:32, in the resultant version, it says, "And become kind to one another, tenderly compassionate, dealing graciously with one another, even as God also in Christ deals graciously with you." And so we discussed that God, in everything he does with us, he deals graciously. And Philemon has an illustration of that. And the illustration is the way Paul acts towards Philemon and towards his runaway slave, Onesimus. Paul, and how he treats these two, he becomes an example of how God treats us in this, the dispensation of grace. Last time we saw that in Philemon verses 4 through 7, Paul and Timothy were thankful for the love and faith of Philemon and his family. Yet in 8 through 9, they had a request of them. Though Paul, as an elder and bound one of Christ, has the right to require that Philemon do what he wants, he does not choose to act like this. But instead he exhorts him to do it for love's sake. Well, what was this request that he wanted him to do for love's sake? And today we'll see what that's all about, starting in Philemon verse 10, where he says, "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains." So at this point, I suppose Philemon has been reading this letter from his good friend Paul. And the letter, of course, was delivered by Onesimus. He had come with the letter. And probably Philemon was upset to see him, as we'll see, because Onesimus had been a runaway slave. But maybe in reading Paul's letter, Philemon has forgotten about who delivered it and is just thinking about Paul and all the things Paul is saying. Well, if so, suddenly at this point, Philemon is reminded of Onesimus, who is probably standing there before him, having been one of those who delivered the letter. I don't think he delivered it alone, or Philemon might have been likely to blow his stack, say, "You're a runaway slave, you stole from me, I'm going to imprison you or beat you or whatever." But Onesimus is accompanied by another servant of Paul who's going to say, "Hold on, Philemon, you better read the letter first before you decide what to do with your runaway slave." Now, Philemon would have considered Onesimus, as I said, as a runaway slave and a thief. But Paul here gives Philemon a new way to look at Onesimus, in that Paul reveals to Philemon that he has begotten or generated Onesimus in his bonds. Now, what does he mean? Onesimus was a grown man, and Paul, of course, is a man. He couldn't give birth to him. But, of course, he's not referring to physical birth, but to the fact that it was through the proclamation of Paul, and the proclamation that Paul was making of the gospel to him, that Onesimus had been generated to faith in Christ. So Paul had proclaimed Christ to Onesimus. Onesimus had heard it and believed it. And Paul had done this while he was a bound one for Christ in Rome, as we discussed earlier in the book. Verse 11, "Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me." Now we have to understand that the name Onesimus actually means profitable or useful. So Paul here is making a play on the name of this man, Onesimus. And he says, well, that in this past, this man whose name was profitable or useful, he was basically a useless slave to you. And I suppose he was useless. He had run away. He had stolen, embezzled money from his master when he'd run away. Well, that made him a pretty useless slave. But now, Paul says, Onesimus is different. Now he has come to faith in Christ. And now that means that he is a useful person, not only to Philemon, but also to Paul as well. And Paul reveals to Philemon that he has made use of Onesimus and found him to be useful in his bonds, as he is there in Rome. Verse 12. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart. Or the resultant version, whom I have sent back. You therefore receive him, that is, my most compassionate feelings. So Paul has sent this former runaway slave back to his master. Now I suppose that when Paul brought this up to Onesimus, he probably was reluctant to do this. And the fact is that he could be in a lot of trouble for having run away from his master. Basically, a runaway slave could be executed. He could be put to death for having run away. They took a very dim view of runaway slaves in that day. So we can see why Onesimus would have been reluctant to go back to Philemon. And remember, he had not only run away, but he had also stolen money from his master when he ran away. Now, I suppose he thought he had to do that, because how could a runaway slave survive or provide for himself if he didn't have money? But still, he had stolen money from his master when he ran away. And if just being a runaway was enough to get a slave executed, it was even worse that he had stolen from his master when he did it. Yet, Onesimus is a believer in Jesus Christ now. And as a believer in Christ, Paul probably urged him he must do the right thing. He must go back, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter what penalty he might face. But Paul is not sending him back alone without help. Paul is sending him with this letter. And in this letter here, he urges Philemon to accept this slave back. In fact, not just to accept him, but to receive him back. Now, I don't suppose that we think too often about the difference between accepting and receiving. We aren't so formal. But the fact is that there's a big difference between accepting and receiving. If you use the words right, the fact is that you accept an inferior and you receive a superior. For example, if the president were to come to you and want to visit you in your house, you wouldn't accept the president into your house as if he was privileged that you would deign to let him come in. No, the president would honor you by coming to your house. You would receive him into your house as an honored guest. On the other hand, if you were to take in a homeless man, if you were to bring him into your house and feed him and give him a place to stay and sleep the night, well, you wouldn't be receiving him into your house as an honored guest. You would be accepting him in. He is somewhat beneath you, and yet you're accepting him in. Well, a runaway slave who comes back, you would normally talk about accepting him back. But Paul says, no, you don't accept Onesimus back. You receive him back. As if you are receiving my heart, my most tender feelings, when you receive him. And I think what Paul is clearly implying is that he does have the most tender of feelings for this man, for this runaway slave, Onesimus. So he says, receive him as if you were receiving my heart, receiving my most tender feelings when you received him. Now, Paul goes on to talk about his desire for Onesimus and how Philemon would treat him, starting in verse 13. He says, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Or the resultant version, I would have retained him with me, that on your behalf he might have ministered to me in the bonds of the gospel. So Paul says here that he perhaps would have preferred to keep Onesimus with him. Now, why does he say this? Well, Philemon, I think, as we know, was a good friend of Paul. That's clear from this letter. Paul viewed him as a good friend. He thought Philemon viewed him as a good friend. And I'm sure Philemon would have liked to have helped Paul and ministered to him in his bonds there in Rome. But he couldn't be there. He couldn't help him. He had his own place, his own household to run in Colossae. Well, since Philemon couldn't be there, and Philemon would have liked to have been able to help Paul, well, Onesimus could have ministered to Paul in Philemon's place. And he could have done the things for Paul that Philemon would gladly have done if he had been there. So that Philemon could have ministered to Paul through Onesimus. Now notice that Paul here calls his imprisonment the bonds of the gospel. You might wonder, what does he mean by that? Why does he consider it that the gospel is bound when he is bound? Well, as I've told you before, I think Paul was bound in Rome more by Christ than by Rome. Remember, Paul was not in prison at this time. He was in his own hired house, his own rented house. And when he arrived at Rome, he was a prisoner of Rome. But when he got there, he came with no charges against him. And the Jews there, who were the ones who would have had to charge him, if anybody was going to, said they had no letters and received no charges. So they had no charge to bring against him. So I think Rome, and especially some in Rome, like Porcius Festus, who had the embarrassment of sending Paul to Rome to Caesar with no charges, they probably would have liked it if Paul would have just disappeared and gone away. It would have saved them a problem. But as long as he had appealed to Caesar, he had to appear before Caesar. But I don't think he was that bound or that closely watched by Rome. So Paul views it that it's Christ who is forcing him to stay in Rome. Remember in Acts 27, Paul was told, "You must appear before Caesar." So Paul couldn't leave until that interview happened. So Christ was holding him there. Therefore, he was not allowed to leave Rome and go out from there to spread the gospel any longer, like he had been doing for so many years before he arrived in Rome. Now Paul was, we know from Acts chapter 28 and verses 30 and 31, receiving all who came to him and freely proclaiming to them the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. But he wasn't able to go out and spread the gospel. Now, during the book of Acts, especially the latter half of Acts, from about Acts 13 on, Paul had been the man, the one through whom God was spreading the gospel to the remainder of the Roman world, to that territory north and west of the land of Israel, along the northern coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And Paul had been the one spreading it, he and his entourage, his companions. But now Paul is kept in Rome and not allowed to go out. And I think that is because the Lord had something very specific he wanted. He wanted others to begin to take the task upon themselves of spreading the gospel. Acts chapter 28 tells us that the gospel is now made freely available to all nations. It is apostled to them. And so no longer is it going to be the apostle Paul or any other apostle carrying it, but the gospel itself is the apostle. And therefore anyone who wants to can pick it up and carry it and proclaim it. So the Lord wants others to start to do that, and therefore I think he very purposefully binds Paul in Rome so that he's out of the picture, so that other believers can realize, well, if the gospel is going to spread, I'm going to have to spread it. And I can't just rely on Paul to do it because he's the one who's always been doing it. So I think the Lord is purposefully keeping Paul there in Rome so that others will spread the gospel. And that's why Paul views it that the gospel is bound there with him, so that others can spread it. But anyway, he wishes that he could keep Onesimus with him. He could have kept Onesimus with him to help him and minister to him in his chains in Philemon's place. But he says, verse 14, "But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary." Or the resultant version, "But without your permission I would do nothing, so that your good thing should not be as according to necessity, but according to free will." So Paul says that he does not wish to act without Philemon's permission to keep Onesimus with him. Now this would be a good thing for Philemon to allow Onesimus to serve Paul. But if Paul had just said, well, I'll just assume that Philemon would like this and I'll keep Onesimus with me, well, that would have made it a necessity for Philemon to allow this, rather than something he had done by his own free will. So if it was a necessity, if Paul didn't really give Philemon any choice, it wouldn't have really been a gift. It would have been something done without Philemon's consent. So Philemon could have gotten no credit for it. He couldn't have been credited with giving this gift to Paul because he never really had a choice. Paul said, "You have to give me this gift. I'm keeping him." So Paul says, "I didn't want to do that. Without your permission, I didn't want to do anything. So that your good thing shouldn't be according to necessity, but according to free will. I wanted you to freely allow me to have Onesimus minister to me. So I had to send him back to you first and see if you would send him back to me voluntarily." Verse 15, "For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever." Now Paul here suggests to Philemon a new way of looking at his slave Onesimus. As I said, up till this point, whenever he thought of Onesimus, he probably considered him as a runaway slave, a useless slave, who had not only refused to work, but had run away and embezzled, stolen, defrauded him of money when he did it. But Paul says, look at Onesimus departing from you, Philemon. Departing from you is just departing for a season by God's purposes, so that now you may receive him back forever. And forever here is the Greek word aionios, related to that Greek word aion, which we can English as eon, and which I've told you before has to do with the outflow. So receiving him back, aionion, would have to do with receiving him for the outflow or receiving him perpetually. That before you had only been able to receive him for a time because he wasn't a brother. He wasn't a fellow believer. And when he died, that would be the end of your relationship with him. But now that you can receive him back as a believer, you can receive him back forever. Because now he's a brother. Now he's a fellow believer. And he goes on to explain that in verse 16. When he says, "No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you? Both in the flesh and in the Lord." So he says that he can now receive Onesimus perpetually, no longer as a bondman, no longer as a slave. But he says now you can receive him as above a slave. You can receive him as a beloved brother. Now, beloved here is the Greek word agapetos. And I've told you before that the Greeks were much more specific with their word love than we are. Our word love we used in all kinds of contexts. We talk about loving sports or loving pizza. And we talk about loving our parents, loving our children, loving our spouse, loving our friends. Now these are all different kinds of love, and yet we use the same word for all of them. But the Greeks had multiple words for love that were far more specific. And the Greek agapetos, or agape, spoke of God's type of love, a self-sacrificing love, a love that sacrifices yourself for the one you love. So he is suggesting that Philemon receive Onesimus as a beloved brother, a brother loved with self-sacrificing love. Now Paul says that he already considers Onesimus as loved by himself this way. Paul says, "I love Onesimus with a self-sacrificing love," and I'll prove that in some of the things he says in the upcoming verses, some of the things he's willing to do to sacrifice for Onesimus. But he says to Philemon, "Shouldn't you love him much more than I do with a self-sacrificing love? Don't you have reason to love him even more than I do? First of all, you have reason to love him in the flesh, as your formerly worthless slave, but now reformed. And you should love him based on his being reformed, based on his now being willing to serve you and work hard and do the things he's supposed to do as a slave out of love and as your brother in Christ. So you should consider him beloved with a self-sacrificing love in the flesh and in the Lord, as now a brother in the faith, a brother who believes in Jesus Christ just like you do." Now, there's no doubt about it here that Paul is making it most clear to Philemon what Philemon should do in this case. Yet the reality is that this would not at all be an easy thing for Philemon to do. I think it's easy for us to look at this from the slave's perspective, to look at it from Onesimus' perspective and say, well, oh yes, Philemon should forgive him, especially since he's a brother in Christ now. He should forgive him. He should put all his wrong deeds behind him. He should forget about him being runaway. He should forget about him embezzling the money. And he should love him. That's what he should do to Onesimus. But if we would look at it from Philemon's perspective, that would be a hard thing to do. For one thing, Onesimus is not Philemon's only slave. And the reason you were supposed to be harsh with a slave if he tried to run away or if he did run away and you caught him is that you didn't want your other slaves to get the idea that they could do that and get away with it. And yet if he lets Onesimus off, if he doesn't punish him for being a runaway slave, well, how will that look to his other slaves? Now, if he treated Onesimus harshly, his other slaves might say, well, I better not dare to run away because he'll treat me harshly. But if he lets Onesimus off without punishment, what might his other slaves say? They might say, well, I could run away too, and Philemon won't do anything about it. Even if he catches me, he's not going to punish me, so I have nothing to lose. I might as well try running away. There's no downside to it. So this would be a dangerous thing for Philemon to do in the light of the message it would send to his other slaves. But then, also think of it from Philemon's perspective regarding his fellow slave owners. Remember, Philemon was a wealthy man. And wealthy men generally do business with other wealthy men. And Philemon, as a wealthy man, will be forced to do business with other men who own slaves. He will have to trade with them. He will have to interact with them. They are his class. He must get along with them. And yet, what will they think of Philemon if he sets the example of letting off one of his slaves like this? Because they all have slaves. And they all probably feel the same thing, that if a slave runs away, you have to treat him harshly if you catch him, because otherwise you'll encourage your other slaves to run away. And they'll all look at this as Philemon is setting a bad example for all their slaves, telling all their slaves that maybe they can get away with running away, telling all their slaves that maybe there's no downside. If they run away, they won't get punished. And so they will probably be very upset with Philemon. His business partners, the people he has to trade with and interact with, might get so angry with him that they don't want to do business with him anymore because of him letting Onesimus off. So if Philemon is going to do this, there's no doubt about it, he's going to be sacrificing himself. Paul isn't just kidding when he says that he should love Onesimus with a self-sacrificing love, because there will be a sacrifice involved if Philemon does this. Yet this is what he must do if he is to please not only Paul, but also the Lord, to whom Onesimus now belongs. So in this portion, Paul appeals to Philemon regarding his runaway slave Onesimus. Paul had begotten him to faith in Christ while he was in bonds in Rome. He had been a useless slave to Philemon, finally running away and stealing from him while doing it. Yet now that he is a believer, Paul has sent him back to Philemon. Paul might have kept him to serve Paul in Philemon's place. Yet that would not have been appropriate since it would have forced this gift from Philemon rather than it being a voluntary gift. So he wants Philemon to receive Onesimus now, not as a slave, but as a beloved brother. Well, what an example of love and grace this would be. Yet this is also what God asks of us, that we would treat our brothers in Christ graciously this same way. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to show God's grace to each other? Well, let's do it. Let's show grace.
What a difficult decision Philemon has with respect to how he will treat Onesimus, a runaway slave, who is now a brother in Christ. The self-sacrificial attitude that Paul urges Philemon to act upon is sadly often neglected in Christendom. Let us all submit to how God would have us treat others today in this dispensation of grace. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the book of Philemon. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series in the book of Philemon with Not a Slave, But a Brother. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that as you know God's Word more, you know God more. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also offer a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. We look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.